The Big Scary Show is sponsored in part by the following: Gantom Lighting and Controls, GANTOM, Gantom.com, and Dark Imaginings, Web Design, Changing Portraits, and More, DarkImaginings.com.
For the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp at the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for a Big Scary Show.
This is David, artist known as Bern Zig, and you're listening to Big Scary Show.
This is Cletus from Feartown Haunted House, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Johanna Frappier from Forest Haunt, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me,
John Kassir, the voice of
the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
This is Adam Soltis from Ace Soltis Art Creations, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Heather Rigney from Heather Rigney Author, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
And welcome back to the podcast Oscars, presenting the award for Best Haunt Industry Podcast, numbered episode 127, is Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty.
The Academy Award
You're awesome.
Come on. La La Land.
La La Land has had zero prior nominations or awards tonight. It's not even a podcast, but they seem to have won, and they're coming up to the stage.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you to the Academy. Thank you to Lionsgate. Thank you to our incredible cast and crew. We're all up here right now. Thank you to my parents for supporting my choice to pursue a career in the arts, even though it was a little bit crazy. Arthur Horowitz, you are my fantasy baby.
Here's to the fools who made me dream, my uncle, my mentors, my parents, my children, my wife, Julie, on whose shoulders I've stood for 40 years.
Fred. To my family, maman, papa, Jeff, hommage, vous adore, and Damien Chazelle, we're standing on your shoulders. We lost, by the way, but, you know.
Guys, I'm sorry.
No, there's a mistake.
Now, the winner is Big Scary Show. Big Scary Show.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
Now, accepting on behalf of The Big Scary Show, co-host Storm.
Oh, wow. This is amazing. I can't believe this is such a great award. It's a really weird-looking award, but where to begin? I got to begin with my co-host. For everybody involved with episode 127 here. This is absolutely amazing. First, I want to thank Badger. The Deadline News, absolutely amazing. All the industry things we need to know, it's happening here in this episode. Next, I got to thank Jerry Vane. Some amazing music for this episode. I think this is why we won. I think this is why we're just up here. This is phenomenal. I need to thank Meat Hook, Unknown Jim, whatever he's going by tonight. He's got scare actors, tips, and tricks going on in this episode. It's really cool. It's amazing. I gotta thank myself, the Haunt Minute. I think it's brilliant this week. We're talking about, you know, just making sure that your sponsors are happy and radio hosts in California. I don't even remember how that relates. That's amazing. I'm just so shocked to be up here right now. I need to thank our special correspondent, Veister, for taking some time off for this episode as we get ready for Transworld. See you in April, buddy. It's going to be awesome. The Roundtable of Terror. I mean, we can't leave that out. Amazing this week. We're talking with Alan Schell, Backwoods Oddities, did just incredible job with the Roundtable this week. We're talking about haunt actor management, how to prevent the whole diva scenario and everything. We couldn't have done it without you. Gotta thank everybody at TerrorCon in Rhode Island. Some really awesome interviews, some really great artists and people coming up. It's just a lot of fun. The gruesome giveaway, I just couldn't be a part of this episode, couldn't be here tonight, but that's why at Transworld we'll be giving away the mystery box and everything you expect out of a gruesome giveaway. It's the mystery box is our element for episode 127. Oh my god, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing award. I do want to thank the guys at La La Land. I'm sorry this happened again, that you got announced for award and didn't win. I don't even know why you got announced, but I don't know. We won. We're up here. This is amazing. We hope everybody listens along. It's going to be a fun ride. It's amazing. All right, they're telling me to get off the stage now, and I got to say, you know, Mom, I know you don't listen, you know, because of all my crazy circus people friends, but we did it. We did it.
A cloud of fear descends upon St. Louis. As Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show is open for business March 23rd through 27th, 2017 at the Americas Center. The Halloween and Attraction Show is the only industry trade show of its kind in the world. For two decades, Transworld has created the marketplace for the haunted house industry. We have everything you need to make your Halloween season a spooky success. The Halloween and Attraction Show combines the products and knowledge of hundreds of exhibitors you need to see this March. And we now feature Escape Room City, a segment of the show that caters to the escape room and adventure game industries. Whether you own and operate a successful escape room or are considering exploring this booming industry, Escape Room City vendors and seminars will appeal to both seasoned owners, novices, and all those in between. See you in St. Louis.
All right, Storm here on the show floor. Just been playing around with my microphone and stuff. And what show is it, Storm? Why, it's TerrorCon here in Rhode Island. Yeah, we actually have a horror show finally come back to Rhode Island. And it's a big one this year. A lot of celebrities, a lot of people we've talked to a lot over the past year. And, we're standing outside of an area with four tattoo artists. Now, something you typically see at these types of shows, but brilliant. And I'm sure they've got a couple lines going.
Right,
a couple people right now actually getting tattoos. So we're going to talk to some people here on the show floor, some of the booths, some of the vendors. We'll try and get some of the celebrities. We just went by the line for the Talking Dead, the Walking Dead panel, and it was two lines out the door, which is just massive, especially for a first day. So, Storm reporting from TerrorCon here in Rhode Island, and I'm going to try and keep the pops to a minimum with the speakers.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left. No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of good or evil, right or wrong. I met this 6-year-old child with the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Van Helsing's Curse, Halloween, on the Big Scary Show.
Intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, it completely dodged an entire crowd of 9.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
in a real-world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around and there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your ZTAG badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted. Take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
And you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play ZTAG again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play ZTAG.
All right. One of the great things about these shows like TerraCon is you get to meet some really awesome artists with some neat stuff. And I'm here with David at the Burnzing booth. David, tell us about your art.
So basically, it's inspired by 80s horror and current pop culture, kind of mixing the two together. A lot of cartoon. I like taking like cute, funny cartoons and adding the gruesome horror aspect to it. A lot of mashups, even Star Wars. I added some horror aspects to all the Star Wars stuff.
That's fantastic. Yes, the horror icon Pokemon are fantastic. Yeah. Really some connections there, which you just would not have thought of.
Like Cubone and Jason make sense because they both have mother issues.
Yep.
Cubone wears his mother's skull. Jason kills for his mother. And the Sand Slasher of Springwood. So it makes sense.
You also got some incredible art, especially this one-way sign, which is just a devil surfing on it. Yeah. Fantastic.
This is an actual street sign I found outside. Didn't steal it. I just found it.
You know, around here, definitely. That happens more than you'd think. Where do you get some of your inspiration? Definitely some of the twists. Just, you know, binging on pop culture? Or?
Basically, yeah. That's all. I just watch movies and TV all day. And I love, like, the kind of, like, the Outrun style. Like, neon lights, purple, pink, those colors and stuff like that. So I do a lot of mixtures like that where I use, like, neon colors, black and white stripes, like, bright neon, the colors you wouldn't expect for the subject matter.
A lot of good pop, a lot of nice purple with the Alien and the Predator pictures and art you have. Where can our listeners check out your art?
So I have a pretty good Instagram I keep going all the time. That's Burnzig. I have an Etsy account that's also Burnzig, a Facebook page, which is also Burnzig, and a website that should be up in a few days, which will be burnzig.com.
Fantastic. And that's B-U-R-N-Z-I-G, Burnzig. So check that out on all the social media and hopefully a website when the next few things or when you're listening to this podcast. Any shows you're coming up to in the future be vending at?
Yeah. Hey, Biff, we're going to be at Northeast Comic Con, right?
Yeah, we'll be there with... Yeah.
Next week, Northeast Comic Con.
All right, fantastic. So probably when you're listening to this show as we publish it for Saturday and headed to Northeast Comic Con, you can definitely check out the booth. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We're going to start off the news with some information coming from The Darkness in St. Louis regarding Transworld. The Darkness Haunted House Tour is bigger than ever and now includes tours through four world-class escape rooms. The Darkness Haunted House has been totally renovated with new scenes, animations, and special effects. Last year, the Darkness added an all-new haunted house called Silo X, a zombie-themed attraction. This year, the Darkness is adding over 4,000 square feet of new haunt space, bringing the entire attraction to over 50,000 screaming feet. The team behind the Darkness has also built four world-class escape rooms, including The Mummy, Subway, Cellar, and the all-new Haunted Hotel. Our escape rooms also feature an adventure party room and much more. The Darkness and St. Louis Escape are located 2 miles from the convention center. Tours include behind the scenes to all three haunts, The Darkness, Terror Visions, and Silo X, plus the escape rooms. Behind the scenes tours run March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th with the live haunted house experience on Saturday the 25th. Tickets are limited. Get your tickets now at thedarkness.com. We have this news from Days of the Dead in Indianapolis. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actor Sherman Howard to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Indianapolis, happening June 30th through July 2nd at the Wyndham Indianapolis West. Sherman Howard is best known for playing one of the most iconic zombies in horror history as his role in Bub in George Romero's Day of the Dead. He's also appeared in such films as The Stand and Lethal Weapon 2, along with such TV work as Batman Beyond. Sherman Howard joins Sting, C.J. Graham, Haruo Nakajima, Lita, Steve Dash, and many more to be announced as Days of the Dead returns to the city where it all began for its seventh year in a row. Tickets for Days of the Dead Indianapolis are on sale now at daysofthedead.net. We have a little sad news regarding the Hellboy franchise via DreadCentral.com. Sad news is coming in for fans hoping for a third Hellboy movie. Director Guillermo del Toro took to Twitter to make the announcement that a new flick featuring Big Red just isn't in the cards. Quote, Hellboy 3, sorry to report, spoke with all parties, must report that 100% the sequel will not happen. Unquote. And that is to be the final thing about it. At the end of the day, I guess it's better to have a definitive no than to just keep on hoping. We'll miss you, Hellboy. Rest easy. We have this news from the Factory of Terror Haunted Attraction in Canton, Ohio. This March, visit the 3-time Guinness World Record winner for largest haunted house in the world. Ohio's most entertaining and scariest haunt will be open for a special St. Patrick's Day event. Only the luck of the Irish can save you now. Located in Canton, Ohio, and happening March 17th, get more info at their Facebook page, facebook.com/FOTOhio. Here's this news from the Dark Hour Haunted House in Plano, Texas. The Irish hold the legend of St. Patrick, whose story is a common one, and the witches know it well. They waited until the veil between the world of humans and the world of fairies was stretched thin, and Shannon McKenna rose to power in the Dark Hour Coven. She called upon the leprechaun and the Fomorian giants, the trolls, fairies, and goblins. She demanded that they go out and hunt men, using them in rituals as she makes mockery of the holiday, to wreak havoc on the land and spread fear in the surrounding areas so the coven can take hold is their only purpose. They swarm at the call of the witches. The numbers of the wee and fairy folk grew, coming in through the portal from the greenside, but the witch Shannon McKenna is too greedy and has reached too far. Even a magical hold of the little people is broken if you try to take their gold. Now they're taking back what is theirs and more, and witches are scrambling for power and dominance with you in the crossfire. Dark Hour Haunted House presents St. Patrick's Slay, March 17th and 18th. Get more information and tickets at darkhourhauntedhouse.com. And finally, we have a little news from Russ McCamey of McCamey Manor in San Diego, California. I want to give a special shout-out to the new actors and crew that I've been working with. I appreciate all the positive response I received from folks asking to volunteer their time here at McCamey Manor. You all really brought your A-game during the auditions and rehearsals. It's been a wild week, to say the least. I'll admit I did have to break my take-the-tour-first rule, but after seeing what you all brought to the table, it's okay that those not selected got a pass on touring. Unfortunately, as most of you know, I was not able to keep everyone, but thank you so much for going through the audition process. With part of the team intact, I'm still looking for a couple of specific characters. So now that we have our core team, I'm opening up the possibility for folks hearing this message to become part of the McCamey Manor Extinction Show. Actors must meet basic requirements and have to be able to realistically be available for one show on the weekends. The new selectees will be required to partake in the new tour. Sorry, now that we have most of the new team, I cannot skip the taking of the tour requirement. If for some reason you really can't participate, but you bring that something special we're looking for, it's possible I'll waive that requirement. If interested, contact me via Facebook, instant message, or at musicalexcitementwithruss@yahoo.com. You can also reach me at 858-672-2824. Again, a big thanks to the new members of the McCamey Manor team and to all those auditioned. I truly appreciate you participating in the selection process.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
All right, Storm here, and I am at the booth for Fear Town, which is just over the border in Massachusetts, right at the Seekonk Speedway. I'm here with Anthony and Mike from Fear Town. Guys, tell us a little bit about your attraction real quick.
So we're actually a really interesting or kind of a unique attraction. We use a lot of different integrating elements. We actually have one of the longest haunts in the area. We have actually over 40 minutes of fear. So when you come through, you really get your money's worth and be able to go through the haunt and see a lot of different things.
Yeah, as far as the haunt goes, it's one of the most versatile haunts, and I'd have to say in the country as far as what we have. We get everything from, you know, witches to zombies to clowns, so we do hit everybody at all their fears. I mean, we have, like, fear of falling, fear of everything there. So we, and again, like he was saying, we use everything, like the terrain we have. It's an outdoor haunt, so it takes a big play in it. We have, like, faked out floors, so, like, when you're coming in, you have, like, the illusion you're falling into things. It's just a really good haunt.
Yep, I actually got out to it 2 years ago. Fantastic with some of the lights and effects. Really loved the garage scene you had set up there and really great use of the uplighting. How did this season go, especially with the weather here in New England?
The season, we actually had a lot of rain, but we were actually able to overcome that and try to really add a lot of unique features. This year, we actually added a whole new event called the Extreme Fears, and we were actually able to have one of a unique kind of event where we're actually able to have our actors touch. And so it's kind of that even more in-depth interaction. It really gets the adrenaline running because it's not something that you normally see.
Awesome. Fantastic. Anything new coming on the horizon or still in the planning stages?
We have every year we kind of have new things going on, and we were big on constantly reinventing. So while we might have some of the ideas and same concepts, the entire layout is completely different every year.
Oh, fantastic. About how many actors do you have a season?
It really varies.
We have 65 this year.
We usually had like 65 or sometimes even more than that.
Sounds good. When do you normally do your casting call?
We usually have our casting usually in August, and then we have everybody ready to go for in September, and we do really in-depth training, and especially for the extreme nights, cause where the actors are actually touching people, we have a lot of training.
We do accept applications throughout the season, though. We just don't do the hiring until then. But if somebody filled out an application online now, somebody would contact them pretty close to right away.
And where could listeners local, if they wanted to work for Fear Town this coming 27th season, where can they find you online?
They can actually go right to our website at fear-town.com, or they can actually visit our application website directly, which is on our website, but it's People Fear Us, so peoplefear.us.
Oh, that's fantastic. Brilliant work with that.
Thank
Excellent. And when's the season open? End of September? Do you got a date yet?
Yep, end of September. So our first days are going to be the 29th and 30th, and then we carry on through the weekends in October, and then Extreme Fears will be the first weekend in November.
Fantastic. Definitely, listeners, when you're coming through Rhode Island, New England, checking out all things that are creepy and the best area for Halloween, definitely check out Fear Town in Seekonk, Mass. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Silent Horror, Evil Dead on the Big Scary Show.
What evil hides behind this wall? I just don't know. What lies beneath the ground? I don't want to know. Strange message from long ago. With the words. Raise the dead, yeah. Evil dead, evil dead, evil
ready to dress up your show? Need to pump new life into old props? Just want to show something no one else has? Do what Alice Cooper, Distortions Unlimited, and A-list haunters all over the world do. Wear Von Karon. Durable, handcrafted, dependable, year after year. Von Karon. When you scare enough to wear the very best. VonKaron.com. VonKaron.com.
All right, Storm here. I found a really neat booth because it combines the two t-shirt colors every haunter wears, that is black and non-black, in the same thing. I am here with Johanna at the Forest Haunt Bleached T-Shirts. Johanna, tell us a little bit about bleached t-shirts.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's a process. I draw a picture, and I take an X-Acto blade and cut out the stencil from plastic, and then I put it on the t-shirt and bleach it, straight bleach in a spray bottle, and it appears right in front of my eyes, so it's really satisfying to do. It's very therapeutic.
Therapeutic and a lot of awesome Halloween, macabre type of things, but not too crazy. Not something you'd be afraid to wear at the grocery store.
That's right.
Which I know is one of my issues with t-shirts. What's some of your inspiration for some of the designs? Everything from the alien who's creeping me out behind a tree to sugar skulls.
Yeah, no, that alien's brand new. I did that specifically for this show. I like creepy. I like trees.
And also some of the effects that you're able to get with the bleach, a lot of the shading, the blending, and I love, you know, there's a ghost one I'm looking at right now. It has almost a moon-like effect with it because it's spattered. Where can our listeners find out more about your shirts and order some online if they're not here this weekend?
They can go to Etsy, and if you just Google my name in Etsy, it's Johanna Frappier, Frappier. You can go to my website. Not quite yet. Don't go to my website. Anyway, go on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah, this is what happened. I bleached one of my favorite jackets one day, and I couldn't wear it again, I thought. But then I put a dragonfly on it, and I can still wear it, and that's how I started.
Oh, fantastic. So definitely be looking for it on YouTube. Is it Forest Haunt they're looking for?
Yeah.
Awesome, Forest Haunt. And are you going to any shows in the area coming up where you'll be vending?
I'm going to Super Mega Fest
in
April in Marlborough, Massachusetts.
Fantastic. Well, definitely, listeners, be on the lookout for Johanna and these awesome t-shirts because it combines both colors, black and non-black. All right. Thank you, Johanna. And that's Forest Haunt Bleach T-Shirts.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, of course, that music you're hearing signifies it's once again time for the Roundtable of Terror, brought to you by our very good friends at Necrotic Creations. We do want to remind you the views expressed on the Roundtable of Terror do not necessarily represent those of the hosts, the sponsors, the guests, or the entire general population of the world, but we don't care. Transworld's right around the corner. A lot of people are going to be buying stuff for their haunts. A lot of people are going to really start getting into the season. And then they're going to start looking for their actors. They're going to start recruiting. Some of them will be first times. Some of them will be returning. It's always great to have a haunted house filled with passion and good actors and returning actors. Sometimes you don't get that. Sometimes you're lucky enough to do. And actors can make and break a haunt depending on how good or how not so good they are. So we thought we'd talk a little bit of acting for your haunted house this year. We have our regular host plus a special guest. Let's start with our regular host. In case you're new to the show, we bring you from Rhode Island, none other than Storm.
Greetings from my tiny speaker.
The unknown scare actor used to be known as, now he's known as Meat Hook Jim.
The doctor has confirmed the fact that the kennel cough has gone away, so we won't have to worry about that anymore.
Oh, thank God. I mean, glad to hear you're on the mend. From Columbus, Ohio, recently moved from Vegas, our very own hauntstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
The sky goes boom.
My name is Drew Badger. I'm in Charlotte. It's been 80 degrees all week. Now it's down to 59, and I'm in my winter coat. So there you go. Want to introduce a special guest with us tonight using some new technology we have at the show. Hopefully it will work. If you go to this haunted house, one thing you're going to find out is their actors are incredibly passionate about what they do, and they've also got one of the creepiest little girl actors you've ever seen in your life. I'm, of course, talking about Backwoods Oddities in Waverly, Ohio. Alan Schell, the owner's on the line. Alan, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Glad to be here. Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, and sounding loud and clear. This is one of those haunts that Meat Hook Jim has said you must put on your bucket list. And, Jim, why should this be one that everybody needs to go out and see?
You know, the bucket list is very simple with this haunt. It's in the middle of nowhere. Waverly is just a little town in the eastern Appalachia of Ohio. You wouldn't think that this would be the place you would find a haunt. But what Alan has done is he's created something very special. Every single person that volunteers for him has a passion for this business that rivals people that work in the biggest pro haunts. Without the attitude, without the diva attitudes, these are nothing but pure, passionate, haunting people. And every person that works at Allen's Haunt should be commended on what they've done. I have trained them for years. Alan has taken my training and put his own spin on it. They just love to scare people. To give you an example of how passionate these people are, towards the end of last season, after their season was done, I needed more actors for a client. We're talking about a 3.5-4 hour drive for these people, and six of them came out without batting an eyelash to help us out. That's passion you can't buy. And these people, every one of them, is amazing for what they do in that respect.
Thank you.
Wow. Alan, how do you do it, man? I mean, one of the things I get as a consultant, people ask me, what's the best way to recruit actors? How do I keep these guys? How do I keep these guys from lasting more than a weekend? And yet, as Jim says, you're not in a big, big city. You're not in, you know, one of the nationally big name haunts that people always seem to hear about. But yet you've got a heck of a retention rate. And you've got a heck of a good crew of actors. What do you do in the recruiting process in order to keep them and get them coming back?
I think the biggest thing that we do is we treat them all as family. As a matter of fact, we have a private Facebook group called the BWO Actors Family, and we incorporate them into us and to help them build drive in what they're going to do in their scene. We incorporate them in designing their scene. We're already doing meetings this time of year with our elders, which is our main builders, as to what we're wanting to do. And then we assign actors. Once we assign our actors, we say, okay, this is going to be your room. You've got 6 months. What do you want in your room? How can we help you build it? We incorporate them. And then we congratulate them for whoever has the most improvement on their room at the end of the season. It gives them a sense of belonging, a sense of drive.
And I guess that's kind of a huge thing that maybe some haunts have kind of forgot about. You know, it is a family. I mean, at least for, 4 to 6 weeks out of the year, these people you're working with every night and sometimes in very intimate quarters and all that. And it just, you have to have that. So what do you do if somebody comes in, they're a new person, and they're just not, shall we say, family-oriented? They just kind of want to do their own thing.
Okay. If we get in guys or new actors that aren't family-oriented, we include them in the family by putting them with other actors that have been with us forever. So they learn basically how we like to run our scares, the way we like to treat our customers, and we have the experienced actors train them and help them develop characters so that we can put them in their own rooms in the following year. And that really helps them develop a drive to want to be part of the family, because they know if I get this right, if we learn, then I can help develop my own room next year.
Very nice. Jim, I mean, you're in charge of a bunch of actors with your mall acting troupe. What do you do if you have, you know, shall we say, divas starting to rear their ugly heads midway through a season?
Well, in a case like that, the first thing I do is I will pull said person aside and talk to them and say, look, you know, this attitude is not going to fly. And in certain cases, it really doesn't show itself until, you know, there's another aspect of the business that presents itself, and all of a sudden this diva attitude comes out. I'm not opposed to cutting anybody from the team because of that type of attitude. I don't want to do that, especially if a person's talented, but I've done it, and I'll do it again. I want quality people that are going to do their job and not think they're better than anybody else. And quite frankly, on my team, everybody works together as a family. And, you know, some people put differences aside just to accomplish this goal. And it's just it's a testament to my respect for my actors as well as their respect for me. Is it 100% infallible? No. But in those cases where you find that person that isn't somebody that can work with you, you cut them loose. I mean, I don't have time for that. Especially going to multiple haunts, I cannot deal with that type of attitude. And I've shut it down before, I'll shut it down again, and if they don't work out right, I'll cut them loose. That's just the nature of the business. You've just got to surround yourself with the right people. And people think it's easy, but you can ask Alan. It's not a simple process.
No, definitely not.
It's got to be the person's got to have the right mindset for this business. And if they think they're going to go out there and just make a few bucks, then they're in the wrong business, because look at Alan's people. They do this purely for the love of doing it. They don't get paid, but they're rich in other respects because of the flexibility that Alan gives them. And that's the way I work too. I believe in flexibility. Bigger haunts, you know, they maybe can't be quite as flexible because of theming and things like that, but there's still room to make any haunt a family and to shut down the divas for the good of the entire group.
Storm, I know you worked at Trails to Terror for many, many years, managing or otherwise. What were some of the issues that you were finding?
You know, it's actually interesting, too, because one of the things coming into it, the new management team when I first began there, that was one of the major problems, was the actors that they had there treating it as a big party. A lot of people just entitled to a position with the show. But, having to work that out and change things with it. So to help fix things, it's treating it like a job, that this isn't, you know, what everyone else thinks of a haunted attraction as just some sort of thing that you go to that's, oh, it's fun, it's different, it's Halloween, and don't think about it. And, you know, it makes a big change, because then you become some professional, then you can have the greatest sets and everything you got, but if you don't sort of demand that respect for it from your actors and have them respect themselves, it all falls apart. And it is tough keeping that balance and working with people. And a lot of times, even just through attrition, sometimes people say, oh, you know, I got this thing and that thing going on, and I won't be coming back next year. And if you're not the person, you know, making the decisions about stuff, you'll go there and think, oh, good. Thank goodness that they're not coming back, because it was getting tough to work with said person. And that's indications and signs that you need to look at it. You need to treat things differently, and you got to steer your actors onto a different mindset, because I've seen it break apart haunts. I've seen it just, you can have a great dynamic, and you just introduce one catalyst. And it could be an actor, it could be some sort of program, it could even be safety, and have a breakdown in that, and everything goes to hell. And you just got to deal with it and make sure that your actors are dealing with it the right way.
I do want to remind you, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. We're going to take a brief time out to listen to this very important message, and we'll be right back.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it. When you see it, get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com.
And we're back on the Roundtable of Terror with Alan Schell of Backwoods Oddities in Waverly, Ohio. Our normal bevy of hosts talking acting, keeping good actors, keeping them passionate, dealing with unrulies and divas. And if you've been to a haunted houses, over the course of years, you've probably run into them. Jerry, question for you. I know you're now living in Ohio, but when you were living in Vegas and San Diego, did you notice, or do people on the West Coast have a different attitude as far as when they work in haunts? You know, I've taught haunts on the West Coast, and I always tell them, you know, hey, is this, you know, too laid back to work in a haunted house because in October everyone's still rollerblading and windsurfing and all that, or it was there any different attitude from the haunts that you've seen in the Midwest?
I would say definitely that the haunts out here in the Midwest are a little more laid back. I mean, just as passionate, but I noticed there's more of a camaraderie between the haunted attractions out here than in Vegas, definitely. San Diego, I really can't say much because we only had like two, maybe three that I went to. I know that for a while, the Haunted Hotel and Frightmare on Market Street worked, interacted with each other. But when Frightmare went out of business, it kind of, you know, that was kind of it. I mean, the only other haunts we had in Vegas at the time was over at the zoo in Balboa Park, which was a trail haunt, and the Scream Zone down at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, which was like a good half hour away. So, with the actors themselves, there seemed to be a good camaraderie, but you always have your divas, and in Vegas especially, I did notice, you know, one particular group of haunts. I won't say names because like I've mentioned before, everything in there is trailer haunts, but I did notice some divas with one group as compared to the other one, which reminded me a little more of the haunts out in the Midwest. A little more laid back. You know, they didn't overcharge you because of who they were. They went for quality scares, but not trying to ramp up the gore factor and see, you know, if they can make you, you know, soil yourself. So that's basically about it.
That's cool. And of course, you know, the main acting experience you've had is at the Scaratorium when you come up for Midwest. You never acted out in Vegas or anything, right?
No. The only time I've acted was both 2012 and 2014.
But you know what? I got to say, Jerry did a bang-up job when I worked with him at Scaratorium. He was funny and scary at the same time.
Oh, and absolutely. Running 103 fever.
Oh, the voices he does?
I was sick as a dog.
Something tells me that come late summer, people are going to come knocking on your door and calling you saying, hey, come work for me. Come work for me.
That has already started out. I've been contacted by a couple haunts, and I've been, after talking to my girlfriend, who has been contacted to work as well, we both came to the conclusion that for this season, we want to just kind of explore everything out here. We want to go check out Backward Oddities and some of the, Land of Illusion and, some of the other haunts that are within driving distance. And just kind of get into the thing rather than just jumping into one. I've got no problem working with some. I've been contacted by a couple of haunts to come out and do a personal appearance and to sell the CDs. I'm really hoping to have Black Moon Asylum out this by MHC. So, I've got to kind of sit there and do checks and balances and see what makes more sense. And I think for this season, yeah, I would love to act. I would love to do a guest act somewhere. But right now, I want to kind of being new here, go out and enjoy everything before I'm stuck with one for the season, so to speak. Or, maybe I'll hook up with Maul. I don't know.
There you go. Bringing up Maul, that also kind of adds a new dynamic to haunts, When we work at places like MHC or we go to the Darkness and during Transworld in St. Louis, during the convention season, those haunts are just filled with guest actors from all over the country, as well as, organizations like Jim's, where he brings in guest actors. And Alan, I guess have you had members of Maul working at your haunt? And if so, how does it affect the dynamic of the regular actors there?
Well, we have, I believe it's three, maybe four seasons now we've had Maul come out and act with us. And I use them as inspiration for our actors. And I have them watch how the Maul actors do it. But by the end of the night, it always turns around that the Maul actors tell us that we are an inspiration to them because we've got a huge drive, a huge emotional attachment to the haunt, something that they don't always get to see other places. And my actors learn from them some of them techniques that are used at some of the larger haunts and some of the different acting skills that we need. So it's kind of a win-win situation. We inspire them to keep going, and they teach us how we can keep going. Works out really well.
I've got to agree with you, Alan. It works out very well because I tell, and not just my actors, but anybody that'll listen, go see Backwoods Oddities. See the passion that they have. Myself and my team have inspired you, but you guys have really inspired me and my team. And it's almost a symbiotic relationship the way it is because, your people, I can't say enough good things about them and their passion. I have seen passion from these people that rivals anything from a big haunt and even sometimes better because the diva attitudes aren't there. Everybody works as a family to accomplish a goal, and you guys do it very well. You may be small, but one day, and I promise you that day is coming, Backwoods Oddities is going to be known a lot larger than it is now.
We work every year to grow, so I know it's coming soon.
So just what have you got coming up for this new season? I mean, like you say, you grow every year. Anything that you can tease us with about Backwoods 2017?
Well, Backwoods 2017, we're finally going to break into an area that everybody hates, but we're ready to do. We're going to get into the woods. We're going to go across the creek. We're going to include a bridge. We're going to see what it's like on the backside of the carnival. Backwoods Oddities has done the last carnival theme for the last 4 years. So this year you're going to actually get into the campgrounds of the last carnival, which will be across the creek. Now, what happens over there is yet to be determined.
What happens over there stays over there.
I hope so.
So you're saying what happens at Backwoods stays in the Backwoods.
Backwoods, exactly. There you go.
Rim shot, please.
And, you know, for those of you that are listening that may be within a good driving distance, it's the best value and a great scare for your buck. It really is. And I'm going to give a shout out to one of your actors in particular. And you know who I'm going to say. She plays Mopsy Topsy, Beth Brust.
That's right.
She managed to scare me coming through there one season after I had trained everybody. And that is her badge of honor. She's really good at what she does.
Beth Brust is one of our longtime actors, along with Slick Willie, Josh Good. Mm-hmm. They've been with us for a very long time, and I'm proud to be able to share them with you guys when you travel. It's really impressive. It's a huge compliment that you recognize them. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, I'm thanking you guys because they got an opportunity. They were so, I can't tell you how anxious they were to get started when they came over that weekend. I mean, they didn't want to leave. That's how much they loved it. And they looked at me, Jim, we'll do this for free. It's like, well, you know, I'd love to, you know, but I'm going to pay you guys because you guys traveled quite a ways. But the passion they had and the experience they had working at a big haunt, I think, was invaluable to them.
Yeah, I can't wait to get them all sat down in a meeting to get opinions from them. Mentioning Jerry Vane, guest actor at Scaratorium, Melissa and I, and my daughter Kim, who's Susie Soulkeeper, also guest acted in 2014 at Scaratorium. And we took a lot of the information and a lot of the experience that we gained there, and we incorporated it into our haunt. So I can't wait to see what Beth and Josh and... you had six of them out there, but all the actors, I can't wait to sit down with them to get their opinion of how we can make our haunt better. Not ideas, but on the management side of how we can make sure all of our actors have proper breaks, have proper refreshments, are able to travel from spot to spot, and be able to get more scares. So that's going to be really good information. I can't wait for that.
Let me throw this out there to answer your, for lack of a better term, brain fart. It was Danielle, Greg, and Alan.
Yes, Alan was all the way from the UK. You've got an actor that came in from the UK. That was excellent.
Alan O'Hanrahan, great guy.
Yes,
loved what he did.
Yes.
All of them did.
Can't say his name three times fast, but my goodness.
I know. I stumble on it the first time.
So Beth, when you hear this, make sure you tell Alan to listen. Okay. I'll let you guys take it from there.
Any final questions? Looking at the clock here, looks like we need to start winding this one down a little bit. Storm, anything? Since he's going into trails, anything he might need to know as far as trail management and acting and all that?
It's about the same as anywhere else. Just, you know, tell your actors to layer more and, you know, be aware of their surroundings. I was thinking a quick one, just for a quick go around, is when you're hiring somebody, when you first meet them and they try out for your haunt, is there a red flag that jumps out at you and goes, maybe not this person?
There's a huge one for me. First thing that really throws a flag to me is I ask them to fill out an application. If they don't fill it out completely, or if they say, oh, I just want to come to the meeting and not fill out the application, they don't even have the drive to fill out a piece of paper, they're not going to make it. That's a huge red flag. If they can't put in that much dedication to do 5 minutes with a pencil, probably not going to use them.
You mean I can't do this online on my phone?
Right, exactly. Even that. If they want to do the online application, if they just won't take the time to actually fill it out, they're just like, oh, well, when's the actors meeting? I'll just show up. No, sorry.
You know, I used to cut my teeth in the big theme park down in Charlotte, and we would have people who were just saying, well, I'm just here so I can get some Christmas money. And, you know, some of them were good actors. Some of them were just kind of there and running through the motions and stuff. So, you know, there's, you know, recruiting, a good recruiting process can hopefully weed out some of that. And of course, when you need, you know, 200 people and you kind of have to get what you can get, or if you're in an area where there's just not that many and sometimes that's all you can get, it's harder to deal with. So with you being out in the very, very rural area or far away from the big cities, do you have an issue with recruiting?
Recruiting is always an issue. I mean, we try not to beg on Facebook or through different social media sites. We try to rely on word of mouth from our actors, but since recruiting is an issue, we are willing to take as long as they go through our actor training course. Actors that are only available maybe one of our weekends or only Saturdays of our weekends or just maybe even one night, as long as they're willing to go through the actor training class and they're willing to put in a little bit of effort, we can use them. But as far as recruiting full-time people, there's nothing better than our actors bringing their friends or family or nephews. There's no better way to get people that are like-minded than having our DW actors family bring in their family.
And that, of course, adds to the family atmosphere of a good haunt.
Exactly.
There you go. Any final questions, guys?
You know, one final comment I have, and it goes along with what Alan's been saying, is family. That's the key in my book. I mean, I know everybody's got different management styles, but I think Alan's got it right, and I firmly believe in the whole family aspect and everybody, you know, being a team and suppressing the diva attitudes and everybody working towards the same common goal. It's worked for Maul. It works for Backwoods Oddities. I think it can work for a lot of haunts if people just give it a chance and put aside ego for a little bit.
Couldn't say it better myself. There you go. Well, this is the part of the show we affectionately call the plugs. So, Alan, for people wanting more information, maybe they live somewhere in the general vicinity of Waverly, Ohio, and would like to take advantage of your fine haunt, how can they get more information, websites, social media, etc.?
Pretty easy. The easiest way to find us is to go to our website, bwohaunt.com. Of course, there you can get our Facebook link, and we're on Facebook. But if you look for us on Facebook, Backwoods is spelled a little different. It's BACKWOODZ Oddities, ODDITIES. So, but we're on Facebook every week. Every week during the summer, we do a free Friday mystery box giveaway where we pick a random winner. They get whatever's in the mystery box. We ship it out. We also do ticket promotions. We do all different types of advertising through our Facebook and on our website.
Excellent. So go to bwohaunts.com or Backwoods with a Z Oddities on Facebook, and you'll get a lot more information about this very cool haunt. Great actors. Alan Schell, want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on the Round Table of Terror, as well as our regular hosts, including Storm.
I have escaped from my tiny speaker because we have touched on so many great things to make your haunt better today.
Meat Hook Jim.
Support your haunts, big or small, that some may surprise you.
The Haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane.
Jim said it best. I can't top that.
My name is Drew Badger, reminding you once again, as Jim said, support your local haunts. Because if you don't, who will? This is the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show.
Are you afraid this haunt season? Afraid of long lines of dissatisfied customers just at your ticket booth? Afraid of all the processing fees and hassle with credit cards? Are you afraid to make that jump into online ticketing? Well, take the leap. Ticket Leap. Ticket Leap will give you online options for your customer. Beautiful event pages to give every single ticketing option you have now and loads of possibility. Smart tools to spread the word, engage with your customers, and connect to social media with great, simple payment processing and the friendly customer support to go with it. Do things you haven't dreamed of. Hey, what's a selfie ticket? Check out TicketLeap.com. They're going to show you what to do. And no haunt's too big or too small for them to process. You're going to have a beautiful event page, even if you have a home haunt. Hey, they have options for free events that you may have. And what better way to collect donations for a community? Tickets under $5. The fee's only 25 cents. Find out what TicketLeap has to offer to you. TicketLeap.com.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right, so, I want to talk to you this week about Damian Barling. Ooh, who's Damian Barling? He sounds like he's haunt-related. Yeah, no, he's not. He's actually a sports radio host in the Sacramento area. Oh, great, Storm. I don't sport, so should I turn off now? No, don't worry. If you don't sport, I'll walk you through the parts that you understand it. It's pretty cool. So, Damian Barling, you know, sports host for Sacramento. His station also covers the Sacramento Kings, the basketball team. Well, the general manager of the Kings made a, what a lot of people would say, a very one-sided trade for a big name brand player recently. In the Haunters equivalent, this would be like trading a full-size pneumatic prop for a couple of static props, which were going to be on clearance anyway next week. So that's pretty much the equivalent for you. So the radio host, you know, he called the general manager a moron in a little bit of a tirade about, you know, what type of deal this was and how it affects the team and everything. And, you know, these are people's livelihoods, and it's, you know, talk sports radio, so this is what they're talking about. Well, the station didn't take too kindly with that because of their relationship with the basketball team, and they pulled the radio host because of his criticism. Now, fortunately, it was only for one day. It really wasn't anything that harsh, and, you know, it's good to be critical as long as you can back it up and you're smart with it. And that's the thing, too. Don't freak out when people are being critical of your haunts, especially your own employees and stuff. You know, you want to make sure that your actors and your employees have a venue with you and the people who make the decisions about the haunts so that they're not airing it on Facebook and whatever. But you don't want to automatically just dismiss the criticism. I know it's easy because you see so many posts and reviews, one star, not scary, and that's it. You know, always ask people to try and quantify, you know, oh, what is it? What would you like to see more? That aside, this also got me thinking, are you out there asking the opinions of your haunts of your sponsors? You know, you build a lot of these relationships. Sometimes you have some good advertisers, people who will sponsor things on your haunt. You get them on the brochures, you mention them during TV ads, that type of thing. But are you going back to them and asking them what they think of their haunt? What parts do they enjoy most? Have they sent any of their employees or people involved with your sponsor to come through it? You know, make sure you're checking on that because it's good to have that relationship. And, you know, listen to criticism with people related to your haunt. don't dismiss it just outright, because in the end, it's going to make you a better haunt if you actually listen to criticism and go, hey, you know, I could actually be doing this a little bit better. You know, do that before your sponsors are calling you a moron and pulling their support from your show. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
All right, Storm here, and again, artists and comic books are always one of the neatest things you find at conventions like TerraCon. I'm here with Jay Kennedy. Jay, tell us a little bit about your art.
Hi, my name is Jay. I'm a comic guy from Boston, and I do a lot of horror-related comics. Yeah, that's basically the in and out of it. I do horror stuff mostly. Horror anthology. Hey, dude, how are you?
Thank you.
Sorry, I gotta.
Oh, no problem. Nope. Work as you go.
No,
nope, absolutely.
No, absolutely. Kind of giving me an interview. I don't even know what to say, really.
Oh, it's no problem. Where do you get some of your inspiration? You got a lot of neat mixes between some of the old styles, some Lovecraft, some Cthulhu on there, and then even things that look like something out of the 80s.
I had some really cool horror stuff. I guess Cthulhu would be a big thing for me, but I guess I fell in love with movies in the 80s, horror movies. Like, I watched a lot of horror stuff with my family. And, yeah, I guess 80s horror was a big deal to me, and obviously I grew up watching goofy horror stuff as a kid, and I try to carry that over into my work, give everybody a little bit of a nostalgia to it. You might dig that. That's a pretty good horror comic.
Definitely some neat stuff. Jay, where can our listeners find more about your comics and more about your art?
Just about at any comic store, or just talk to me at conventions like this.
Do you have any shows you're going to be attending soon?
That's not my department.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm not...
Nothing scheduled in next month or so?
I'm not good at
remembering that.
I pick it up later as I go, you know what I mean?
Excellent. Yeah. All right, sounds good. Jay, definitely check him out. He's got some really awesome, awesome comics out there. Jay Kennedy. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Wednesday 13th, Halloween 13-13 on the Big Scary Show.
From their graves. Don't be afraid, girl. Don't be afraid.
CreepyCollection.com. The most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com for all your gore and more.
All right, Storm, back on the show floor at TerraCon, and I'm here with Adam with some really neat art that you do. Adam, tell us a little bit about your art.
I do multiple different types of art. The ones I'm working on right now are on 78 vinyl. I hand paint them with acrylic and oil, and then I coat them over with a nice varnish, but I do a nice, like a virtual splatter with them. So it looks really good, nice, sleek, and I wanted something that kind of has a little bit of a value to it instead of kind of like a standard canvas. So I think that they pop and they look really good.
I can definitely say they pop. We actually noticed them coming in. We were looking at some of the social media. TerraCon had posted photos of those, and we're like, what are those? So we had to definitely come over. Where do you get some of the inspiration? You got some neat stuff like Mega Man, but he's just a skull. Some really cool changes.
So I won't lie, I have kind of a sick mind myself beyond what I already do. I actually do zombified amiibo and other things too, but I just kind of like doing a lot of line work. So with that, I wanted to have something a little bit dark for the con, and I think that the skeleton looked really good underneath there, so kind of give it the video game and multiple lives kind of thing to it.
It is so unique being on 45s. Adam, where can our listeners find more of your art?
Asoltis Art Creations, Asoltys Art Creations, either on Facebook or on Instagram. I'm also constantly with Evolution Comics, Evo Comics. We're here today all together. So,
fantastic. Any shows that you'll be vending at in the upcoming future?
I have the Central PA Comic-Con coming up,
right,
as well as Too Many Games, which is a great gaming convention in the Pennsylvania area.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you very much, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you.
Enter, if you dare, Haunters, into the lair of Meat Hook Jim. As he brings you scare acting tips and tricks. Okay, Haunters, while we're in the home stretch to Trans World, the next thing up here on tips and tricks is going to be, I think, active listening. And this is something I usually cover in one of my actor training classes. But it is so useful as a cue line actor or as a house actor. Use your ears. Just listen. Listen for names. Listen for the person that's scared. When you're working a cue line, if you listen for a person's name, that's gold, because the minute you use their name, they freak out. If you're inside a house, listen for that person that's kind of freaking. You know, or listen for a name just as well. If you catch a name when they're going through the house, that team tends to really get under their skin, and you'll have that one person that just pulls that hoodie down and doesn't want to look at you. And the whole time you're going, hi, Tiffany, guess what, Tiffany, I'm going to cut your throat, Tiffany. That's just an example, but, you know, it's very useful when you're trying to instill as much fear as you can in your guests. So this is going to be a short one for this episode of The Big Scary Show. Just remember, listen, 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 listen. And have fun as always. And remember, Haunters, if you have your own scare acting tips and tricks you'd like to get out to the masses, email me, usa@bigscaryshow.com. Do you want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction. With features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more. HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind.
Check them out at hauntpay.com and start now for free.
All right, Storm here, and I am at one of the author booths. I'm here with Heather, and she's got a couple books, including Hunting the Murrow and Walking the Murrow. Tell us, Waking the Murrow. Oh, yay, my first mess up of the day. Heather, tell us a little bit about your books.
My book is about a alcoholic funeral director mother who's a subpar mother, and she's at the playground one day, and this beautiful woman walks in, and as it turns out, she is a mermaid that's been living in Narragansett Bay for centuries. She's also responsible for the burning of the HMS Gaspee, which is, you know, kind of a thing in the Patuxent Village area. She was the jilted mermaid who's spurred on the colonists to go and burn the Gaspee down after she was jilted by Lieutenant Duddingston. So it goes back and forth in history, and I tried to put as much nautical nonsense in there that I could find in history and kind of blame it on mermaids, and it goes from there. So then in current day, Evie, and she's a big hot mess. She's battling this mermaid trying to figure out what's going on. So.
Fantastic. And it's a trilogy you're doing?
It is. So the first book came out in 2014, and the second book came out in 2015, and the third book should be out by the end of this year.
Fantastic. Where can our listeners find you online, order the books and such?
I am available on Amazon. The first book is an Amazon exclusive, but the other books are found in most online places. And if you're from Rhode Island, you can get it at Wakefield Books or Twice Told Tales in Patuxent Village.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Great. And Heather, do you have a website or anybody or anything that they can check you out or any future shows you'll be vending at?
Sure. You can check out my work at www.heatherrigney, all one word, R-I-G as in girl, N-E-Y, .com. And I'm going to be doing Big Apple Con on March 10th and 11th coming up in New York City.
Fantastic. Awesome. Sounds good. All right. Thank you very much, Heather.
Thank you.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following sponsors. Screamline Studios, Gantom Lighting, Dark Imaginings, Von Caron Productions, Haunt Pay, Necrotic Creations, Ticket Leap, Haunter's Digest, and Creepy Collection. We would also like to thank Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, as well as the Fordga hosts, including Storm, Rants and More, HauntMinute.com, The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. For more information, check out MaulMonsters.com. That's MaulMonsters.com. Drew Badger, Actor, Trainer, and Consultant. Find out more at rabidbadger.org. And Jerry Vane, the Hauntstrumentalist, for all your heavy metal and haunt needs. jerryvane.com. And finally, you, the listener. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.